we're going to be talking about who you're going to call when you need to forgive. Who you going to call when you need to forgive? Because, you know, forgiveness, and we talked a little bit about it last week when we were talking about women. And some of you said, or actually one of you said, and I won't tell you that was Kathy, who said that that's women's problem, that they can't forgive, or they struggle with forgiveness. And as we're going through this, Who You Gonna Call series, there's so many things that we need to look at, and I think sometimes we fail to look at it. And that's why I'm doing Who You Gonna Call this summer, because as we go through this, we need to realize that we have to call on Christ. We have to call on Him to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish. We have to call on Him to get the answers that we need when we need answers. We can't seek man out for the things that God can show us and give us. When God first called me into the ministry and He said, go to New York, my wife and I, we talked about it, and God made it very clear. He said, John, and you go, God actually talked to you? Yes. And if God's never talked to you, the first thing you got to look at is your relationship with Him. Because if it's not right, you're not going to hear Him talk to you. And God said, John, here's what I want you to do. I want you to move to New York, and I don't want you to ask anybody for anything that I can give you. Okay, so then here's the next question. What is it that God cannot give me? Well, God can give me everything. And so what He was telling me was, you trust me for everything at every turn, and I'll supply your every need. And when it comes to forgiveness and having to extend forgiveness, because that we get so full of ourselves and we think, well, I'll forgive when they come and say they're sorry. Well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. How haughty is that? Because what did we do to deserve God's forgiveness? What did we do to deserve God to send His Son to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that heaven can be our home? What did we do to deserve that? Nothing. And so as we unfold forgiveness today, we're going to see that we need to extend to others what God extended to us. For no other reason than the fact that God says to do it, because He loves us, and because to withhold forgiveness is sin. It's sin. And not only that, but usually the one who gets beat up the most when you withhold forgiveness is the one withholding forgiveness. Those are the ones that suffer the most. They're angry more often than not. And God says, listen, I just want you to forgive. And you say, well, they don't deserve it. Well, neither did you. You see, sometimes we think more of ourselves than we ought to. So as we look at this, let's look at Matthew chapter 6. And we're just going to unfold forgiveness a little bit today. And I think some people knew I was preaching on forgiveness and didn't come today because they really needed it. I'm kidding. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now let's just stop there for a second. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it says, for what? What's the next word? For if. If. For if you forgive. So there's a stipulation there, isn't it? Do you want forgiveness from God? Then you have to extend forgiveness to others. For if you want. Let's not miss that. Sometimes we overlook what actually applies to us. And that if applies to us. And we know that from the word you. For if you forgive men, or if you forgive others, if you forgive the one who has sinned against you, if you forgive their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So we see that the first step is our part, isn't it? We have to forgive. We have to extend that. And sometimes yet we choose to hold on to the bitterness of despising somebody because of what they've done. And all it does is kill relationships. I mean, I've seen relationships destroyed over a disagreement about nothing. I mean, nothing. Well, I'll never talk to you again, and they don't. And it's amazing how the root of bitterness gets so deep within us when we fail to forgive. He goes on, verse 15. But, so he starts out, for if you forgive, then I'll forgive you. But, now listen, if you choose not to forgive, that's that word but, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's pretty clear. God requires forgiveness, doesn't he? And if you don't extend forgiveness, you don't receive forgiveness. God's very clear about that. I don't think he mixes it. He doesn't go on in verse 16 and say, but if you see fit to withhold for a little while, I understand, because they hurt you pretty bad, and after all, they deserve you not talking to them. He doesn't say that. In 16, he goes on, he's switching gears actually, talking about fasting, but he says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. I think when God says something, he means it. I don't think there's a, okay, listen, I understand, you don't need to forgive, I forgive you, and so if you don't want to forgive them, it's okay. God doesn't do that. He says, I'll not tolerate it. You don't forgive, I don't forgive. And you say, well, that's pretty childish, God. God says, well, I can be whatever I want. He says, if you forgive, I forgive. If you don't, I don't. But we want God's forgiveness. So the first thing that we see is we must forgive to be forgiven. Jesus says in Matthew 7:2, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. We receive what we give. Some of you are distraught. Some of you are full of anger and bitterness, and you refuse to give or forgive. It's coming right back on you. You're full of anger and bitterness. Don't you see the connection? And he says, listen, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. You will receive what you give. If you fail to give, you don't receive. Matthew 18:35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. It's talking about being handed over to torturers. Do you realize that when you fail to forgive, you literally are torturing yourself? Then you get angry and you get bitter and you get mad. And who do we blame? God. Well, how could God let this happen? How could, you know what, I've been so faithful to God and I've always done what's right because I'm the perfect person, and how could God let this happen? If we look here, he says, so my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart. That means you don't go, all right, I guess if things are going to get better, I might as well just go over there and say, I forgive you, and then God will at least find mercy on me, so I forgive you. Well, that's from here. God made it very clear. He doesn't want it from here. He wants it from here. Why? Because here is what changes lives. This is just a soothing of whatever, thinking we're going to get away with it. And God says, no, no, no. I want it real. I want it genuine. And he says, if you fail to forgive from your heart, then he'll also do to you what you fail to do. Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Do you guys, are you kind of catching on the importance of forgiveness here? Are you catching on how important it is to God that we forgive? Do you realize that when you don't forgive, you're cheating yourself? When you don't forgive, you're robbing yourself? When you fail to forgive, you're telling God, listen, I don't want your blessings. I don't want you on my life. I've got it all under control. I'm my own man. I can handle it. That's what we're telling God when we say, I'm not going to forgive. And he says, hey, that's fine. But if you fail to forgive, then God's going to fail to forgive you. You go, well, that's not right. Well, why isn't it? It's kind of like the servant that owed 100 talents, and he went, and the master said, listen, I'm going to forgive you, and I'm not going to throw you in prison. I'm going to forgive your debt. And he goes out, and then he goes and finds the guy that owed him 10. And he has him thrown in prison until he can pay it back. When he was just forgiven 100, but he wouldn't forgive the 10. And so what happened? He was thrown in prison for not forgiving. Guys, it comes back on us. And that's what God is talking about. Paul says in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also, what's it say?
Must
do. Get this forgiveness, guys. A haughty attitude, a prideful, arrogant attitude only condemns the one holding that attitude. And he says, if you want forgiven, you must do this. James says it in James 2:13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. But look at this. For judgment is without mercy. Judgment is without mercy to who? To the one who has shown no mercy. Guys, forgiveness is the key to success. Forgiveness is the key to breathing fresh air. Forgiveness is the key to life. Not holding the bitterness, not holding the judgment, not holding and not extending mercy, but it's going to somebody and say, I forgive you. And you know, I realize that sometimes people hurt us pretty bad. How many here have been hurt? Yeah. Man, I sent out a text the other day and said, you know, it's really, it's easy to love, I can't remember it, but it basically it's easy to love when people love you, but the true Christianity is loving when people hate you. You know, I went in love and I shared with somebody and I extended myself to them over and over and over again, and I shared truth with them over and over and over again, and the hardest part is to point out somebody's faults, because nobody likes for that to happen. And I did that because I had to. Listen, I said, if you're going to get past this, then you got to see this is what you're being and how you're acting, this is how you're hurting people, and you got to change this. And the response was get out of my life. Don't come back in it. And for me, it was just a dagger. I knew going in, because on Wednesday night, I asked the group to pray for me. Pray for me, because I knew that this was going to be hard. And so then I lose another friend. And then here's what I got to do. And I do. I forgive them with all my heart. I have to love this person even though this person really doesn't care for me. That's being Christ-like. And so I experience it. I feel it. I understand it. I know it. Because guys, I go through it all the time. Some of you sitting here have been so angry with me. Praise God, you're still sitting here. But some of you have been so angry with me and you go, you know what, Pastor? I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm not coming back to your church. Well, praise God, you didn't mean it. It's hard to tell the truth. It's hard to forgive when you know that you've been hurt. You know the truth is going to hurt somebody. And you know extending forgiveness is saying, you know what, I forgive you even though you've mistreated me. And I didn't deserve it. I was only trying to help you because you asked for my help. And then yet, when we do that, it comes back. Guys, I'm going to tell you, forgiveness is a great thing. And forgiveness, by me forgiving this person, allows me to continue to pray for them. It allows me to continue to seek God on their behalf. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. But that's forgiveness. Forgiveness is real. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness calls sin, sin. See, we think that if I forgive them, then they've gotten away with it. No, they haven't. You're pointing out the sin. You're pointing it out. You're calling sin, sin, and you're letting them know that, listen, even though you did me wrong, even though that you hurt me, even though that this was uncalled for and unjust, I forgive you. You're saying, here it is, I've pointed it out, but I'm not holding it against you. Now, when we do that, when we extend forgiveness, guess what? It's kind of like everybody has their own. Who has a junk drawer at home? Yeah, everybody, listen. Okay, who knows what's in that junk drawer? You open it up, and I opened up ours the other day, and I went, man, I know that I left this key in there, and so I'm going through it, because we had a whole bunch of keys in this little baggie, because we put it in a junk drawer, that way we wouldn't lose it. And it took me about 5 years to remember where I put it. And so, the only reason I found it, I was digging all through, and I found the key. But man, did I ever found some treasures in there. I was like, wow, I didn't know. I forgot all about this. And now, okay, I'm going to leave it right here, because now I know where it's at. It ends up to the bottom. You never remember where it's at. But you know what? Forgiveness, when we forgive, it's painful, and it hurts. But when we forgive, when we let it go, it's like finding the treasure all over again in yourself. It's finding that release button. It's finding that, wow, I can breathe again. Because when we extend it, we call sin, sin. We're not ignoring it. We're not saying, listen, what you did is okay. What we're saying is, what you did was wrong. It hurt me, but I forgive you. And you never, just like all the stuff that goes in your junk drawer, when you find it and you extend it, you can't go back to it anymore. That forgiveness, once you forgive somebody for hurting you for something, you can no longer use it for a tool for later application. Forgiveness means you let go of it. I'm not saying you forget it, because listen, let's face it, it's really hard to forget the fact that you've been hurt pretty bad by somebody, isn't it? And every time you see them, sometimes you're reminded of it. If you're holding on to the bitterness, you're really reminded of it. I think of when I hurt my wife in 92. And I wasn't saved. And my wife forgave me. Now, I didn't know she forgave me at the time. I didn't find out until I got saved, because I was just so bitter and nasty, and I'm thinking, girl, what you did, and what, of course, we always have a different look on things than reality sometimes when we want to justify our own sin. And that's what I was doing. And my wife forgave me. You know how I know my wife forgave me? They had what was called a red dot Sunday. Red dot Sunday. What they did was, you had to pick somebody, one person, it couldn't be any more than one, it had to be one person, and you had to pray for them for an entire month. And that red dot you would put on your watch. And so every time you looked at your watch, that red dot reminded you of the person, and then you prayed for that person, whatever it was for. This is how I know that my wife forgave me. That red dot represented me. I didn't even know it. And so here she's praying for me after all the hurt that I've put her through. She's praying for me. The red dot. I didn't find this out, obviously, until after I got saved, because it wouldn't have meant anything to me. But boy, after I got saved and I realized the red dot and the power of this in prayer, her forgiveness was extended the day she put the red dot on. And because of her prayers and her forgiveness and her heart to say, I love you more than I hate what you did, I'm here today. Not because my wife saved me, but because of her constant prayers being put at the foot of the cross, he couldn't ignore her. He couldn't let it go, because she was constantly there. We renewed our vows. I got saved in October. We renewed our vows in December. We didn't divorce. We were just separated. Renewed our vows in December. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And from that time on, my wife has never reminded me of the hurt that I did to her. Never. That is what I'm talking about. That's forgiveness. To where you go, you know what? You hurt me so bad, but I forgive you. And she let it go and never pulled that tool back again. She never used it against me. She never reminded me of my sin. She didn't have to. We don't forget what we do. But she never used it against me. That's forgiveness. That was back in 94. Here we are, 2012. Have I forgotten it? No. Did my wife forget what I did in 92 through 94? No. But she loves me so much, and she loves God so much more, that she extended what I didn't earn and what I didn't deserve and never brought it back up to me. That's forgiveness, guys. That's what God's talking about. Forgiveness also initiates a process. When we forgive, you've heard people say, well, I'll forgive them when they say they're sorry. They're not going to say they're sorry. More than likely not. So the process that's initiated is by you, by going to that person. And you say, well, I don't like confrontation. This is bigger than you. This is bigger than confrontation. This is bigger than your feelings. This is bigger than your ideologies. This is bigger than your heart. This is way it's not even about you anymore. This is about doing what's right in God's eyes. And you start the process, you initiate it by going to the person and saying, I forgive you for what you have done to me. It's not up to the other person to even receive it for you to get your blessing. God says you forgive. He doesn't say that if they don't forgive you, you're not forgiven. He doesn't say that. He says you, with your heart, a genuineness, go to the person, say, I forgive you for the wrong you have done me. God says that's all you got to do. And in God's eyes, it is settled and it is done. The person, you know, because let's face it. When you go to somebody and you say, I forgive you for the wrong you've done me. Man, pride's going to well up in them, and they're going to get angry because you reminded them of the sin. It's not up to them to accept your forgiveness. It is up to you to forgive. He doesn't say forgive, and if they forgive you, if they don't forgive you, it's, you know, then you're not. He just says forgive. If they acknowledge it, then you've gained a friend. If they don't, you still did what was right. But you need to forgive. You need to initiate the process. In Philip Yancey's book, What's So Amazing About Grace, he tells a story about a man and a wife who one night had an argument about how supper was cooked. Now, I know nobody here's ever argued about a meal, have they? Did I ever share with you how my wife cooked spaghetti one time? My wife has not always been the great cook she is. She's just always been great. We were living in North Carolina at the time, and my wife made spaghetti. Now, let me just tell you this. Today, my wife makes great spaghetti and great sauce. But she made spaghetti, and she put red pepper in it. And I like spicy stuff, so I don't have a problem with it. I don't know if she was talking on the phone and going, hey, yeah, you know, But I took a bite of this stuff. And I started sweating immediately. My mouth was on fire. My lips, I was like, whoo. And so I took another bite of it because, you know, it was my wife. I want to be nice. I took another bite of it. And after the second, I went, I can't do this. I can't do this. Because here's what I know. If I tell her it's good, she'll do it like that again. I don't want to relive something twice that I can't live once. So honesty is a good policy, right? And so I honey, I'm sorry, I can't eat this. This is way too hot. And to which my wife replied, fine, see if I cook you dinner again. And she starts just eating it, and she's mad. And after about four bites in, she goes, whoo, this is pretty hot. And she shoved the plate away, so we didn't have spaghetti dinner that night. We went out and did something else. But at any rate, he talks about this couple. It was hot, guys. I'm going to tell you. That was 25 years ago. It was hot. So he's talking about this, and they get in the heat of argument over what was cooked for dinner. And so that night, they slept in separate rooms. Neither has approached the other to say, I'm sorry, or to offer forgiveness. And they have remained in separate rooms years after the argument. Each night, they go to bed hoping the other will approach them with an apology or forgiveness. But neither goes to the other. So for 20 years, they've been sleeping in separate rooms now. All over the way a meal was cooked. We think that's crazy. But what have you separated a relationship over? What do you fail to give forgiveness for? He goes on, God's forgiveness does not wait for repentance. It initiates and calls out repentance by offering forgiveness. And he goes on, this is why some people have great difficulty forgiving people. Either they hate confrontation and don't want to confront someone with their sin, so instead they stew in their unforgiveness and hate, not wanting to do the hard work of forgiveness. And then you end up 20 years not talking. 20 years separated. 20 years of sleeping in separate rooms over a cooked meal. Because both of them were too haughty and prideful to ask for forgiveness. Pride kills, guys. Pride kills the one that's holding the forgiveness. Pride kills the one who thinks that they deserve more than they deserve. Give what God gave us. Not because we earned it or deserved it, but because He loved us so much that He gave it. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard. When I was thinking of forgiveness, and I was thinking about how hard forgiveness is, because sometimes, guys, let's face it, forgiveness is incredibly difficult. And I thought of Stephen. Stephen in the Bible, in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60, it says this. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Now, let's just stop right there for a second. Here's what's going on. Stephen goes, and he reminded them that they killed the Savior. He reminded them of their sin and what they did. And they didn't like the truth. As a matter of fact, they got so angry. It's funny, you know, because James, the brother of Jesus, went through the same thing. When the crowd gets together, and if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's in there, where the crowd gets together and they want an answer that they want. And they're not going to settle for anything else. So they called James because they knew James was a righteous man and a godly man. And they called James and they said, James, this is what we want you to do. We want you to ask God to give us this. And they were asking for certain things. And so James starts praying. But he doesn't pray and ask for what they want. He prays for God's will. And they get so angry at him that you know what they did? They started kicking him and hitting him with clubs and throwing rocks at him until they killed him. Let's look at Stephen, which is before James, the murder before James. Verse 55. But he... Who? He, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He says, look, I see God. And in your attack toward me and everything you're doing, and I mean, they were hating Stephen and they were abusing and beating up Stephen. I mean, they were throwing rocks at him. They hated him. Look here in 57. Then they cried with a loud voice, stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear the truth anymore. They didn't want to hear it. They got so angry, they didn't even hear Stephen anymore. They stopped their ears. They stopped listening. And I think that's what happens to us. When we hear God say, I want you to forgive that person. And you go, God, you don't know how they've hurt me, and how can I forgive them, and I'm not going to do it. And we stop our ears. We stop listening to God, don't we? That's what they did. They stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. Verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their claws at the feet of a young man named Saul, who we affectionately know now as Paul. Paul was part of killing the Christians. He was part of killing, martyring those that love God. And this was the beginning of his process right here. And he was known as Saul. And he was holding the coats. He was secretly standing back, making sure that they... I'm sure Paul initiated this attack. I feel that Paul... Because this is the beginning where Paul comes on the scene and he's trying to kill all the Christians now. And it's funny how they mention that they laid the coats at his feet. Kind of like, okay, you protect this, we're going to go do your job. I think Paul initiated this. That's just my personal opinion, but I believe Paul initiated this. Verse 59. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice. Lord, now look at this. Did they deserve this? Did they deserve forgiveness? We talk about how hard it is. Can you imagine the pain that Stephen was going through? Can you imagine the animosity that would have been going through your heart when somebody's slapping you and kicking you and hitting you with stones and trying to kill you? And yet, look what he does. Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Now, just how hard is it to forgive somebody for not liking your cooking? Or you not eating their cooking compared to this. We talk about how hard it is to forgive, and yet Stephen says, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He didn't take a nap, folks. He died. The flesh died. But when Christians die, the Bible, all throughout Scripture, references the Christian dying as falling asleep. Because see, we don't die. We go on and we live forever with God. And that's what living is about, is with God. Those who die and go to hell, they live forever too. But you know why they're dead? They're dead in their trespasses and sin, and God is not anywhere near them. So that is what classifies them as dead, the absence of God. And so here it says that he fell asleep. But I want you to look at a couple things here with Stephen. He was not alone, was he? Oh, he was all alone, surrounded by a crowd that was killing him. He was alone in body, but he was not alone in spirit. God was there. And you go, well, how could God let that happen? How could Jesus watch them do that to them if he loved him? Well, you know, I can't explain why God does the things that he does. But here's what I do know. God allows things to happen so that God gets the glory. And if God uses us to obtain that glory, whether it be at our expense or at our reward, that is up to God. He can do whatever he chooses to do. Do you know why? Because he bought us. We are no longer our own. We are his. He paid the ultimate price for us. He owns us. He owns you and me. And he owns the lost person. Do you know why? Because when he died, he paid for their sins just like he paid for ours. He bought them just like he bought us. So he can use them and do whatever he wants, however he wants. But understand this. I don't believe that Stephen felt the pain of this beating. I just don't believe he did. You know why? First off, he looks up and he sees God. And now he's enamored by the holiness of God. He has the mental faculty to go, look, I see the Father. Man, you can do whatever you want now because I don't even know you're around. All I see is the Father. I see Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And then he asked God to forgive them. I think God just alleviated him of the pain. I just believe that's what God does. And I think that when you go, okay, God, this is going to hurt me. God, I'm struggling with this. But God, I'm going to go to some people and I'm going to ask for, or I'm going to let them know that I forgive them. I'm going to let them know. And you know what God says? Come on, I'm right here with you. Let's go. He doesn't go, well, let me know how it goes when you get back. He doesn't do that. Send me an email or text me and let me know what they said. He doesn't do that. He says, I'm right there with you. You won't go this alone. Why? Because you're doing what's right. You're doing it because God said to do it. And God says, I'll be with you every step of the way. Some of you need to ask for forgiveness from some people. Not because they earned it, not because they deserve it, and not because it's going to be easy, but because it's what God has called us to do, and it's the right thing. It's not easy to give up our hurt or our anger or our hate, but God calls us and tells us to do it. Look at Joseph in Genesis. In Genesis, Joseph says, remember his brother sold him off to slavery? And then, so he gets sold, he gets thrown in a pit, he gets sold to slavery. When he gets sold to slavery, they put him in jail because, remember, he goes into Potiphar's house and then he gets accused of wrongdoing again. Then he goes into prison again. And then finally, through all that, now he's next to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the only one above him. And his brothers come because, you know what's happening? The famine hits. And when the famine hits, people are starving. And they have to go to Egypt to get food. And they get there, the brothers get there, and then they realize, this is our brother Joseph. He's going to kill us. And he has the power to do it. What have we done? But look what Joseph does in Genesis 50, verse 20. He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me. He's talking to his brothers. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about, as is this day, to save many people's lives. He said, what you meant to do for evil, God meant it for good. And then he goes on and he tells them that he forgives them. Did they earn it? No. Could he have been so angry? He spent so many years in prison? Yes. But he understood that, you know what? God allowed that to happen so that this could happen. And I'm going to extend forgiveness. Not because you earned it, because it's God's plan. I'm telling you, God's plan is that you forgive. Romans 8, 28 through 29. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Not all things are good. Listen, everything that has happened to you in your life, I promise you, is not good. I know it, and you know it. But God says, I will take that, and I will use it for good if you'll do what's right. Joseph being the beautiful example. You know, some people take that out of context and they want to say that, you know, God takes all things and He'll make it good out of it. No, He won't. He'll make it so He gets the glory, but you may not feel the good effect of it. It's for God and His glory, and He'll work everything for that good, His glory. But we got to be obedient. A pastor said this, Jesus lets us know that if we refuse to forgive, then we really haven't grasped our great need for forgiveness or how much God has forgiven us. And thus, in our pride, we have not truly repented and God will not forgive us. But when we have our eyes on the cross and the pain and suffering that Jesus went through in order to forgive us and cleanse us from our sin, it can appear pretty minor to forgive those who harm us. I have a video. Go ahead and pull that video up. I want you to see this because in this video, this man shows exactly what forgiveness is and what it looks like. Go ahead.
Another question that I get asked quite often is that, you know, how do you feel about the truck driver? You know, are you still angry with him? How do you feel about him? I tell groups all over the country that I've forgiven him. I don't have any bitterness or resentment or anger or frustration. And it kind of puzzles the audience because they're like, this person took your legs. But I can't live a life of that kind of resentment or that kind of bitterness, that kind of hatred, we've all sinned, we've all missed the mark, we've all failed, we've all wronged people, whether intentionally or by accident. We've all hurt people. I know I've hurt people. And I want to be forgiven. And the only way way that I know to experience true forgiveness and walk in a life that you don't have guilt and pain and regret of broken relationships is that through Jesus and His forgiveness of me for my transgressions against Him, for causing Him pain and causing His death, I've been forgiven. So why wouldn't I forgive the truck driver when I've been forgiven so much more?
That's big. That's big. The question is, for him, how could he do that? The answer is, he realized his forgiveness in Christ and says, you know, I've been forgiven so much more. Why wouldn't I forgive the one who took my legs? We hold on to so much for so little reason. Forgiveness is an act of faith. Yancey also goes on in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace? At last I understood in the final analysis, forgiveness is an act of faith. By forgiving another, I am trusting that God is a better justice maker than I am. By forgiving, I release my own right to get even and leave all issues of fairness for God to work out. I leave in God's hands the scales that must balance justice and mercy. Quit trying to be the judge by holding that forgiveness. Because the only one that you're hurting is you. The only one paying the price is you. Paul says in Romans 12, 19 through 21, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's tough. That's tough. If your enemy sues you and he wants your coat, give him your shirt too. That's what the Bible says. And we want to just hold and hold and hold and because we think we need or deserve more than what we really do. Let God settle that. God will equal the playing field. He always does. You just got to give it to him to do that. We must forgive those who hurt us because God commands it. Our own forgiveness hinges on it, and it's the best thing for us. When you hold on to it, you're just causing a cancer within you. Nobody else, it's within you. Go to that person for forgiveness. And it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter. Listen, because people are people. And it doesn't matter what position they have. It doesn't matter if it's mother, father. It doesn't matter if it's grandfather, if it's pastor, if it's police officer. It doesn't matter who it is. Extend it to them. Because they need it just like you need it. Extend it to them. When we refuse, it becomes a cancer. And then the interesting thing is, when we refuse to forgive, we allow the sin committed against us to hurt us twice. The initial sin hurts us, and the fact that we don't release it and forgive hurts us a second time. And we live with it. It never goes away. Extend forgiveness. Some questions I thought of. Is there someone you need to forgive? Take a moment right now and just, I mean, I'm not asking you to tell me who it is. I'm asking you to think in your mind, is there someone that you need to forgive? Is there someone you haven't talked to in a long time because of what they did? Just think. Is there somebody out there? Is there someone who you refuse to trust because of what they did? Is there someone whom you are waiting for a confession from before you offer forgiveness? You must forgive them. Your own forgiveness depends on it. Your peace depends on it. Your sense of joy depends on it. Your relationship with God depends on it. So who are you withholding it from? You, for one. Who do you need to go to? God sent His only Son to die on the cross for us because we didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve forgiveness. We didn't deserve grace. We didn't deserve the mercy He extended. We didn't deserve heaven. We didn't deserve any of it. But yet God says, I'm going to initiate the process because I understand the value of forgiveness. But then He left the response up to us, didn't He? Are you going to initiate the process? Are you going to extend forgiveness? The reward? You get your life back. You get your life back. You say, well, what if they've already passed away and I can't go to them? Go to God. God will hear you. Go to Him. Lord, I forgive, fill in the blank, that hurt me. And Lord, I can't go to them, so I'm going to You, and I'm letting You know that I'm cleansing my heart of that bitterness and that cancer that I've been holding on to. That's just like going to the person. Because you're letting go. You're letting go of what is killing you, and you're gaining life. Forgiveness. Who do you need to forgive? Then the next question is, when are you going to forgive them? And understand this, as long as you hold it, it's like getting a sore. These are my gross analogies. It's like having a big sore. You've seen that, like where somebody gets road rash, and so they have this big strawberry, you guys know what I'm talking about, and then that big scab comes on it, and then all of a sudden they bump something, they rip it off. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? And then all of a sudden you see them little bumps underneath the scab, which were the skin that was healing, that was holding on the scab, and then it all of a sudden gets a little milky and gets a little nasty, and then it starts bleeding, and then you want to touch it, but when you touch it, it burns really bad, but you know you got to do something with it, and it's just kind of disgusting looking. And then you go, okay, well, I don't have time to clean up now, so you go on, and then it gets infected. It's all of a sudden now it looks like cottage cheese is in there. And it's just really nasty. That's what you're like when you don't forgive. That's what holding on to that becomes like. That gross, nasty infection that happened after you pulled the scab off. And it's not a little one. I mean, it's like half your arm. People look at it and go, ugh, it's one of those. Who are you going to forgive? God said, I sent my Son so I can forgive you. Who are you going to forgive? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, God's forgiveness is still available to you. It's extended. It's a gift lasting as long as you're breathing. When you quit breathing, the offer is over. He says, listen, I sent my Son Jesus to die on the cross for you because I'm going to forgive you of your sins. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today you can take advantage of that. And you can obtain the life that God had intended for you. You can understand what true forgiveness is all about, and then you can go and extend it because you'll understand it, just like the gentleman in the video. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can change that today. It's real easy. First, you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Second, you have to believe that He conquered death and hell. And then third, you have to believe that He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. If you believe that, then you pray this prayer. Now, the prayer is not what saves you. It's your heart condition. It's your belief. The prayer just kind of walks you through the process so that you know you went through it. It kind of carries you along so that you understand the process so that when you get to the end, you have an end result that you can grab hold of. That's all the prayer does. It walks you through it. But it's your heart that believes. That's what saves you. If you wish to receive Christ as your Savior, you pray this prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. quietly within yourself, you pray this. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you conquered death and hell. I believe that you are sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven right now. And I believe that you did all of that because you love me and you forgave me for all of my sins. And Lord, right now, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I repent of all my wrongdoing. Jesus, I trust you as my Savior right now. Come into my life. I give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.